This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Thank you, Heidi. Yeah, I do feel a little bit of pressure because there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and I don't want to just cover the first 3. And when I've used this material before, it was for a longer span of time. Like sometimes it was divided up into 2 different times. And so I'm just feeling a little bit of that pressure and where to cut and where to include material. But it's been a real blessing to me again as I reviewed it and just made me want to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. I certainly haven't arrived, and I want to exemplify it more in my life, as I'm sure we all do. I'm going to need some volunteers. I don't think we're going to have real much time for discussion, but I wanted to have some ways of involving you. So if you'll notice on your handouts that under each of the fruit of the Spirit, I have some scripture. And I was wanting 3 people to volunteer to read them, and you would do it again and again. Like the first one would read the first one, usually, under love. I don't think we'll read 1 Corinthians 13, but it'd be Isaiah 54:10 for the first one there. And then the second one would take a second one, you know, like that for 3 of them. And if there's a 4th one under some of them, I can read that one. They are there for everyone to read, but I want to make sure they get read. So would I have a volunteer for the first one under each one? Thank you. And your name is?
Yvonne.
I'm not sure if it's going to work best for you to sit in the front so that you can get up to the mic. That might discourage some of you from volunteering now. Who's the second volunteer? Good. Okay, great. And the third one? Thank you.
I don't have a Bible along.
No, it's right here. It's written in your handout. Okay, so you two might need to come up too, just so it can get on the recording better. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit are listed there in Galatians 5, 22, and 23. And in the King James Version, which we probably memorized it in, it lists them as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But the outline I'll be using here is more the NIV one, which just varies a little bit. It calls long-suffering patience, and gentleness, kindness. Goodness stays the same. Faith is faithfulness. Meekness is gentleness. And temperance is self-control. You know, we would use self-control probably more today than we would use the word temperance. But I remember a time for me when I really saw the fruit of the Spirit in a new way that made me value it more. I was a young mother, and I forget what I was even going through, but I was going through something that I think it was an interpersonal relationship with another lady where I was feeling unvalued or hurt somehow and just couldn't seem to get out of it. And someone in the team that I worked with had gone to an advanced Bill Gothard seminar. And I hadn't been to it myself, but I saw the notes and they just really interested me. And the one set of notes from that is to sort of take you on a list of what's the thing that happened to you, how did it make you feel, and how do you think the fruit of the Spirit can be developed in your life through this thing. And I used that exercise and went through it, and it just was a real blessing to me to write it out, how this fruit can be developed, how this one can be developed, and how this one can be developed. It gave value, and it put a whole different slant on this problem I was dealing with. And that's what 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18 says. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Every day the things that are happening to you can be renewing and building and developing your inner man, your inner woman. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That kind of verse just really gives me hope and encouragement. And that's what I wish I could remember all the time, but I so often forget. But I hope after today that it's a boost for you too, just to remember that these fruit of the Spirit can be producing real beauty in your life that will show Christ to the world. Someone said that the fruit of the Spirit are like a string of lights, Christmas lights, you know, they're all kind of lined up, and if it's unplugged, then none of them shine. I was thinking about that. I think that's kind of true. Like, if you're not going to be faithful, the love isn't going to be there. And yet I think in some ways, for us individually, there's probably a larger light shining in the string, maybe. Like if the thing that you more easily show in your life would be like a bulb on top of your head, and there'd be different colored bulbs for the different fruits of the Spirit, I think there'd be different colors. And I wish I could kind of see, by looking out over the group here, what the fruit is that you most likely exemplify. And when I the ones of you I know, I can kind of guess. And so as we go along, I'm going to talk about each one, and I want you to be thinking, who is a person in history, in the Bible, or from your own life that you think really exemplified that fruit? And I would like to write the fruit of the Spirit on this whiteboard and then have at least one person underneath it. We won't take real much time, but that's one way we can have more involvement. And I was wondering if I could have a volunteer that would do that too. Just write the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Heidi.
Okay.
I tend to be a visual person, and so I like to have, like if we just make it all a lecture or mental thing, I'd rather have some things for us to see that kind of involve other parts of our brain. So I'm also going to be putting up some visual things. In times when I did it, when we had more time, I like to have ladies divide up into groups and draw a picture of how they'd exemplify this fruit. So the posters I'm going to be putting up as I talk aren't things I have drawn. They've been done by groups of ladies. So the way you would picture the fruit of the Spirit might be different than what they did, but it's just a way of making you think in a new way. Okay, let's go into the attitudes of the fruit of the Spirit. I got this way of dividing up the fruits of the Spirit from A Woman's Walk with God by Elizabeth George. And I certainly recommend this book. It's a good book. And I'm also going to be using material from Filled to Flow, Overflowing by Carol Mayhall. I wish I would have put their names down. I wanted to credit these two books, these two women, for their work. So if you want to write it down, it's A Woman's Walk with God by Elizabeth George and Filled to Overflowing by Carol Mayhall. But Elizabeth George is the one who divided them up into these categories, where love, joy, and peace are the attitudes of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, kindness, and goodness are the actions of the fruit of the Spirit. And faithfulness, gentleness, and temperance are the applications of the fruit of the Spirit. To grow in the fruit of the Spirit, of course, we have to be connected to the vine. And I'm not going to read John 15, 1 to 17, but I do want you to look there in your notes that we abide in the vine by spending time in God's Word. That's from verses 3 and 7. By spending time in prayer, verse 7. By obeying God's commands, verse 10 and 14. And renewing our commitment to Christ. He calls it remaining in his love in verse 10. Love allows you to honor all of God's children, and it's the sacrifice of self. It's an act of the will. As mothers, we really have chances to grow in that with our small children, to learn about sacrifice of the self. I'd like the person who's going to be reading the first one, Yvonne, to read Isaiah 54:10.
Though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed,
Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you.
Okay, the second one.
1 Corinthians 8, 1b. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up.
And the third one.
Galatians 5:13b, serve one another in love.
Thank you. I wish we had time as we read these verses if it makes you think of incidences or experiences in your lives, but I guess we won't take the time for that. But for this section on love, I want to read this little story about a little boy who really wanted to have some sympathy from his father. Compassion is demonstrated in small ways. I love the story of the little boy who had scratched his finger and was trying to show it to his father. Several times the boy attempted to thrust his scratched finger in front of the newspaper his father was reading, and several times he was rebuffed. Finally, the father exploded, "Well, I can't do anything about it, can I?" To which the boy replied, "Yes, you could have said, oh." And you know, just that feeling the child would have gotten of sympathy would have taught him something about the Father heart of God. So a reminder for you young mothers as you're working with your children. There's a verse in Zephaniah that I used to think of sometimes when I would be comforting my children. Zephaniah 3:17 in the NIV talks about God quieting us with his love. And so sometimes when I would hold my children, it just made me feel good to think of how I'm quieting them with my love. I was trying to anyway. And I think God wants us to come to him with our problems so he can quiet us with his love. I want to read this thing from this book yet before I go on to the next one. Every fruit of the Spirit requires decisions, and love is no different. It's hard to love under difficult circumstances, yet that's exactly where most of life is lived. I don't know about you, but I especially need love when I'm tired, when I'm suffering in some way, when I'm hurting, or when I'm feeling burdened down. At difficult times like these, I usually don't feel up to loving other people. That's when I'm learning it's necessary to activate the will if I'm to follow through with actions of love. William Barclay points out that love is a feeling of the mind as much as of the heart. It concerns the will as much as the emotions. It describes the deliberate effort which we can only make with the help of God. Christian love, you see, is an act of the will which needs to be directly cultivated. Who do you think of when you think of a person who is loving, a person who has loved well? Heidi, you want to write love down and then the name of one person that comes to somebody's mind?
Are you thinking of just anyone or a character in the Bible?
It can be anyone.
My mother.
Aw. Oh. What's her name?
Sadie Lapp.
Sadie Lapp. What makes you think she's a loving person?
Always there for us as children and still is, and we knew that nobody mattered as much to her as we children.
Wow.
She would listen and care and let us know that she loved us.
Thank you. That's a real tribute to her. I hope she somehow hears this. Let's go to Joy. Joy celebrates life, and you three ladies can take your turns again with Joy.
John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
John 16:24b, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made full.
James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Just an explanation a little bit on these posters that are supposed to be exemplifying fruits of the Spirit. In the town that I live in, we had this kind of as a symbol of interracial cooperation, I guess you could say. The hands, of the different colors of hands. And so someone used that then with love. And joy, they have a baby at the bottom there. And nature, family, is exemplified by the flower. And God's love with the cross. And they have a small dove. They started drawing up here, but they didn't finish it. Joy. I want to read something from A Woman's Walk with God again. Joy is not dependent on circumstances, but on the spiritual realities of God's goodness, his unconditional love for us, and his ultimate victory over sin and darkness. Joy is a deeper thing than happiness. It's more basic. Happiness is dependent on circumstances, but joy is more basic than that. Joy is not based on our efforts, accomplishments, or willpower, but rather on the truth about our relationship with the Father through the Son. Joy is not merely an emotion, but the result of choosing to look beyond what appears to be true in our life to what is true about our life in Christ. And I just think I need to be reminded often that I can nurture joy by being thankful. And we are told about the sacrifice of joy and being grateful in several scriptural passages, but one that I want to read right now is Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And when you do that, it helps you to forget the little problems that are happening around you and helps you to put your focus back on truth and reality that's beyond the thing that's happening right now. Jude 24 says that we will stand in God's presence with joy. Each one of us here, as we walk and continue with God, we will someday stand before him with joy. Won't that be great? When I think of that, I just think of joy being a sun thing, like yellow. That's the color for joy for me. Proverbs 15:23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. So who is a joyful person in your life, or someone that in the past?
Sharon Brickholder.
Okay, Heidi, you want to write that down? Is it Joy?
Cheryl
Brickholder from Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, she just popped into my head when I thought of Joy. She often.
Because of.
I'm trying to think. Just. Seems like she's usually joyful no matter what.
Beautiful. So she must be a smiley person, is
yeah, she? So I was trying to think, well, maybe it's just her personality, but I think it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. It's neat that people come to your mind so quickly. That's great. I hope it keeps up that way. Peace. Peace leads us back to God's presence. Peace is a special one for me. because it became really precious, and it was showed to me by God in a really hard time. Our first baby was a little girl, and she was full term, but when I was giving, during labor, she was stressed, and she had a bowel movement. She expelled her meconium and then breathed in as she was being born. And we didn't realize the problems right away. And the doctor didn't seem to be as tuned into it, you know, as he could have been, I guess. And so we didn't realize right away, but then later on, it became apparent that the coating of meconium was all through her lungs, and she couldn't get the oxygen she needed. So she was on a respirator and all that, and then was transferred to another hospital away from me, and she died when she was 3 days old. But during that time, because we had a bit of time to know things weren't, you know, it was a gradual thing for me, we could pray about it, we could put it in God's hands, and we knew that if she did live because of her brain not getting the oxygen it needed, that she could be damaged for life. You know, we were getting used to all those things. But I remember that when we prayed and committed her to the Lord, how much peace there was. And it was peace beyond understanding. And sure, we grieved. It was very, very hard. And I still can tear up about it. But I just remember the peace that carried us through that. And that's what's so special about going through hard times and experiencing God's fruit of the Spirit. It's a powerful thing. Okay, you three ladies, you want to read your verses?
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful.
Did you read this one?
Oh. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
It didn't disturb our peace that you read the wrong verse. And the last one there is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. How does that say that in the King James Version? Whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusts in you. And so when our identity is in who we are in Christ, we have a security that's underneath all the things that happen to us in life. It really gives us security, then it gives us peace. One thing that can help to have peace is to make worry lists when something's on your mind and again and again and again. And you can make a column to do and then list what you can do about it, and then committed to God in another column and just give it to God. But if you write it down, you can keep coming back to it and remind yourself that's committed to God. I can't do anything about this, but this I can do something about. Who do you think of as a peaceful person? One more thing else. Say about that as you come up here. One lady was listening to her little 5-year-old daughter singing. She was singing a song, When We Walk With the Lord. And the mother realized the little girl was saying, instead of He abides with us still, she was saying, He provides us with still. So that's what peace is. God provides us with still. Oh, you're going to make it. Okay, you could come and make a second column also if you run out of room. Yeah, that'll be good. Anybody come to your mind when you think of someone that's peaceful? Yes. Jesus' Mother Mary, yes. And anything?
Well,
in particular?
I wouldn't have just said, you know, God, the union, however. I would have said, I'm just going to be pregnant now. And I would have said, no, I wasn't going to leave you. You know, they didn't say I'm a wicked person. I would not have just her response. Always, I can always just see her face just so more looking. And she just squeaks slowly and
mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she had time to process it, I'm sure, by the time she went to Elizabeth and just really praised the Lord when Elizabeth greeted her. She's a great example of peace. Mary, the mother of Jesus, yes. So those three are kind of the attitudes of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how one way we can think of it. Now the next three are the actions of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience waits for God's leading. I want to read a thing from a book here. I've heard it said that God does not give us a happy spirit to make us happy, but a holy spirit to make us holy. Whenever I get squeezed into believing that the purpose of life is to bring delight to me, I'm in trouble. God wants to delight me, to be sure. He desires to shower my life with his riches, his treasures, his good things. And that's exactly what he does. But if I consider those good things to be plenty of money, gobs of love, unconditional acceptance from other people, and untold happiness through my life, then I must have a reading disability. You take a person like Joseph, what he went through. And yet, when he was in prison, it says that he was prosperous. I think that's the word that's used. He was blessed because God's presence was with him. And in different times of his life, it mentions that in scripture, that he was prosperous. It doesn't seem to us like he would have been. But he was being refined. Pressures, pain, and people cause us to lose our cool. A primary factor in understanding and accepting those pressures, trials, and suffering is our view of the purpose of life. Okay, you ladies, want to come up and read your verses again? This is really helping me. Thank you.
James 1, 2 to 5. The prime purpose of this life is to know God and to be conformed to the image of his Son. When we grasp the deep, vital truth that God achieves his purposes largely through trials and temptations, then we can welcome them as friends.
James 5, 7, and 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near.
Romans 5, 3, and 4. We also, rejoicing in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
Thank you again. So try to lengthen your fuse and have patience. And in the book, A Woman's Walk with God, she talks about if you were to shop for patience in a store and you were looking for a jar that would have patience on the label, what do you think the ingredients might be? She said they would probably be endurance, and when injured, mercy, and without, no containing, no, how do those lists say? Contains no anger or vengeance. Those would be some of the ingredients for a jar of patience. It's passive. It does nothing. I think it said somewhere that patience is love that's waiting. Something like that. It gives us a chance to pray. Who do you think of as a patient person?
Johnny Erickson.
Ta-da. And what about her makes you think of patience?
In her constant pain.
Okay, she has pain she lives with constantly. And yeah, just the way she has endured and come through with her disability and blessed so many hundreds of thousands of people with it. I think of my mother. My mother was a mother of 19, 16 biological and 3 adopted, and fostered other children too. By the time she came to me, I was number 10. She had a lot of experience. I never remember her being angry with me. You know, she certainly disciplined me and dealt with problems as they came up, but she didn't show a lot of impatience. The older ones remember more of that, but she got refined before she came to me, I guess. Okay, let's go on to kindness. Kindness reaches out without discrimination. It plans to do something. You ladies want to read your verses for kindness?
Proverbs 14:21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy.
Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
For kindness, I really like the passage from Matthew 11:28-30. I'll just forget that one right now. And you notice that the kindness thing that I put up there, the poster has a whole bunch of little band-aids on it. Jesus says that when we come to him, if we're weary and heavy laden, that he will give us rest. And we're supposed to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. And that thing of being in a yoke with him, being teamed up with him, you know, he's easy, he's kind to us. How do you think the people who are in yoke with you in your life would describe how it is to be in yoke with you? We are, many of us are yoked with our husbands. We're a team together in life. How do our husbands find that? How does your family, how do your coworkers find being in yoke with you? Hopefully, it'll be kindly. In another version, it calls it, for his yoke is kindly, and his burden is light. And in Matthew 25, you know, it lists all those things that Jesus would like people to do. And he says when in the judgment, he will be saying, you know, you did these things for me. It's a lot of kind things. We're doing it for Jesus when we're doing it for people. That helps me, too, when I feel like it might not be yielding what I want it to be doing in a person's life. If my focus is more on doing it for Jesus, there is... there is value in it anyway, whether it ever yields fruit or not. They say that much mental illness can be prevented by kindness. Kindness includes caring, thinking of, noticing, and touching. Who in this past week received those things from you? Caring, thinking of, noticing, and touching. Okay, who's a person that you think of as being an example of kindness? Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa would be a great example of love, too, so many of these things. Because she reached out to the unlovely. Okay, let's just go on to goodness. Goodness inspires greatness in others. It's active kindness. It does everything possible to help others live well. It's the opposite of man's badness. In Romans 3, 10 and 12, I think it contrasts those, Romans 3. It's written, there's none righteous, not even one. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who does God's will. That's what Romans 3, 10 and 12 say. Then Romans 7, 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. So that's what's in our natural selves. We just can't be good. But God, through his Holy Spirit, can bring redemption and goodness in us. Let's read those three verses now.
Psalm 33:5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Nehemiah 9:25b, they ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness.
Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
I noticed those verses talk, the first couple talk about the goodness of God, and then the third one is, you know, in contrast to those verses I read from Romans that say we aren't good, but we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This one, this thing to symbolize goodness is a loaf of bread. It's a little different than some of these things, but isn't a loaf of bread so comforting? And if you can take it to someone in need, you're showing goodness and kindness to them. I want to read an example of goodness from the life of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was able to do just that. He's talking about giving blessing instead of cursing. Toward a mean and insulting man named Stanton, Lincoln definitely knew how to love his enemies as Jesus instructed, as we can see in the following account. No one treated Lincoln with more contempt than did Stanton. He called him a low cunning clown. He nicknamed him the original gorilla and said that one was a fool to wander around Africa trying to capture a gorilla when he could have found one so easily in Springfield, Illinois. He was saying these things publicly. Lincoln said nothing. He made Stanton his war minister because he was the best man for the job, and he treated him with every courtesy. The years wore on. The night came when the assassin's bullet murdered Lincoln in the theater. In the little room to which the president's body was taken stood that same Stanton. And looking down on Lincoln's silent face, he said through his tears, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. So he shows a good example of goodness. And I think all earlier in his life, the story we have from grade school, or the impression we have of him returning money he owned, even though it cost a lot of sacrifice for him, he did that. 2 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 tells us to dress with good deeds. Okay, let's think of who's an example of goodness in our lives. And it can be from the Bible too.
Samaritan.
Yes, the Good Samaritan, very good. was active kindness. Okay, we're going to go into the third section, the applications of the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't have drawings for those three. I'm not sure how we draw some of them. They're a little more abstract, like faithfulness and gentleness and temperance. It's harder to know how to draw those. Faithfulness does not waver in the face of fear or insecurity. Merle has read the life of Shackleton. I don't know if you know the story of him. He was a man who was going on some polar expedition, and it was very, very perilous. They knew that. He selected men who would be very brave men, and they were committed to each other as a team, and they went through all kinds of problems. But Shackleton's goal was that no man is going to die. He's going to do everything he can for them, and he was very faithful. Okay, let's read the three verses on faithfulness.
Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he.
Lamentations 3:22-26. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Revelations 2:10b. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life.
And Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Corrie ten Boom wrote, your strength, my weakness, here they always meet. When I lay my burdens at your feet, the things that seem to crush will in the end be seen as wrongs on which I did ascend. And Dean Dendler said, when he was hospitalized with terminal cancer, only during my brief stay on earth can I give God the pleasure of praising him in the midst of pain. This is the only time we can do that. You know, we're going to have eternity when we won't be experiencing things that would tempt us to not be faithful. This is the time when we can praise him in the midst of pain. Who is a person that you think of as a faithful person?
I thought of Ruth.
Ruth from the Book of Ruth.
Yes.
Okay.
Naomi.
Yes. Naomi. Very good. Ruth was a faithful person. I'll keep moving right into gentleness and meekness. It's the same term there. It eases the soul. It's strength under control. You three ladies can come again and read your verses.
Why? Look up a story here.
Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted.
Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love.
Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
And James 5:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Jesus' meekness in submitting to torture and death released God's power to be shown in resurrection power. And so we never know when we're being meek what we're releasing of God's power. Faithfulness will do it. Meekness where gentleness will take it. So for this last three things, I'm going to repeat that then for the next one too. Faithfulness will do it, gentleness will take it, and then self-control won't do it. Trying to decide if I should, I guess I'll just skip this little story. But I think of Moses as a meek person. In the Bible, he went through a lot of people complaining about him. And instead of just trying to defend himself, he would take it to the Lord and cry out to the Lord. He let God deal with it instead of trying to take it on himself. And that's a pattern for us. Who's a person you think of as being a meek person? Maybe Moses is good enough for there. He was the meekest one of all. And let's go into temperance or self-control. It reflects discipline and commitment. That's one thing that has puzzled me, this next statement here. It's the key which ignites the power that fuels the fruit of the Spirit. I've always thought, well, if I have self-control, then how can it be the Spirit? It's something I can't hardly put it into words, but I often would puzzle about that. But I like the way they say that if I have self-control, then that is the key which ignites the power that fuels the fruit of the Spirit. If I don't have self-control, he's kind of cut off. But if I can resist, if I can control my fallen man, then the Holy Spirit can come through. Because our self gravitates to the flesh that is listed in Galatians 5, 19, and 20. Okay, you three ladies can come and read your verses.
Proverbs 4:14 and 15. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way.
Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, it's all for the glory of God. We all need help with common areas of life, like food, drink, purchasing, possessions, matters sensual and sexual, self-indulgence of any kind. These are the areas that we need to practice self-control in. Remember, faithfulness means do it. Gentleness means take it. Self-control means don't do it. And David showed self-control with Saul. Later in other areas of his life, there were areas he didn't have self-control in, but with Saul, he certainly did. Our time is up, isn't it? Okay. So we'll close there, and God bless you as you grow in the fruits of the Spirit and keep valuing them. And thank you so much, ladies, for helping to read the verses.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.